wanted to speak with you this morning about John the Baptist, or as we usually call him in the Orthodox Church, John the Forerunner, because he came before Jesus and he prepared the way for Jesus. And if there was anybody who didn't have stuff, who didn't care about stuff, it was John the Baptist. You see, he basically grew up more or less by himself in the wilderness. That is to say, just out in like the backwoods, or they didn't really have a lot of backwoods in Israel, so it's like in the desert. And he grew up by himself, praying to God, depending on God for his food, which was pretty simple. It's like locusts. It's like grasshoppers, right? You can just see John in the wilderness. Oh, there's one. Oh, come back. And wild honey. So some people suggest that maybe the locusts were like the locust plants. It's not as fun. But at any rate, he didn't have anything to eat except what was in the desert. What he could find. It's like, oh, great, some wild honey. That would have been a real treat for John. And he was clothed in whatever he could find in the desert, which was not a whole lot. So he had these really rough-looking clothes made of camel's hair. So it's not like something, not nice flowing silks that are nice and soft on the skin. No, he's like rough camel's hair. And all of a sudden, out of the desert, comes this wild-haired, wild-dressed guy, John, and he starts talking to people. And he starts telling people, you know what? You need to repent. You need to fix what's wrong with your lives, and you need to get baptized. Now, this was kind of crazy for, as far as the Israelites were concerned, because for the people of God, the descendants of the children of Abraham, who they were the ones that God had entrusted with the law, and they had the prophets, and they kind of knew what God wanted, right? And they when somebody wanted to join them, like one of the people who wasn't one of them, what they said is, you need to be clean. So they had this ceremonial washing that they call baptism. All of us know what baptism is because we do baptism as well, following Jesus' commands. And Jesus got it from the Jewish tradition of, okay, if you want to become a member of the people of God, what do you do? Well, you need to make sure that you're all clean, so that cleanness outside reminds you that you are called now to be clean inside. But this was what the people who were not part of the people of God did to become part of the people of God. And all of the people that John was talking to, his fellow Jews, are like, but we're clean already. You know, we don't need to get washed. And John was like, no, you guys need to get your act together, because somebody's coming and you need to prepare yourselves and make sure that you are doing good, doing right. And part of that preparation is to admit that you are not by yourself a part of the people of God, to repent and be baptized. And you know, when you have a kind of wild-haired, wild-clothed guy coming out of the wilderness talking to you, I guess it must have had a pretty significant impact, because people started to listen to John. And they even came flocking out, it says, from the cities to come and see him and hear him and listen to him and be baptized by him. There were some who came out who just like wanted to find fault with him. And he didn't mince any words with these people. He's like, you brood of snakes! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And he just told it exactly as they needed to hear it. Because they were like, oh, well, we're all so righteous, and we'll come and let's go and critique John. I was like, no, you brood of snakes, you need to repent too. You need to get baptized too. And then there were the people who came out to him who actually wanted to learn. And there's like, well, what are we supposed to do? You know, you tell us to repent. What are we supposed to repent of? Well, he says, do you have two cloaks in your closet? Yeah. Well, then take one of them and give it to somebody who needs it. Do you have food on your table? Yeah. Well, then take some of that food and give it to somebody who needs it. And then the soldiers came to him and said, well, what should we do? He says, and the tendency in those days was the military wasn't always very well controlled. And if you had a sword, well, you know, you could kind of say, I really like that donkey. I think the army needs that donkey. The army being me. Take out your sword and sort of grab it. And he's like, no, don't do that stuff. You be content with your pay and just make sure that you're actually protecting people. And then the tax collectors came out. The tax collectors were the worst people because tax collecting back then was not like tax collecting now. Tax collecting back then, no tax refunds. Tax collecting back then meant that what you did, you went to the Roman government. Everybody, especially if you were Jewish, really hated the Roman government. And you went to the Roman government and said, hey, you know what? I think I can get this many taxes. And you actually bought the right from the Roman government to go out and tell people that they were going to have to pay their taxes, and then you could keep some of those taxes. Well, it was a great system for the Roman government because they got the incentive was to get lots of taxes, right? And it was a great system for the tax collectors because they're like, let's see, this person owes $10. Okay, well, hey, I have it in my books that you owe me $20. And the person's like, what? No, I should only owe 10. No, absolutely. It's $20 right here. See, I wrote it down. And so therefore, you owe me $20. Well, the government, $20, I mean. And then they take the $20 and then they think, $10 to the Roman government, $10 to me. And everybody knew this, right? So what these guys, everybody hated them. And they came to John and John said, he didn't tell them to stop being tax collectors. He said, take only what you are owed. Only take from people what they have to pay. In other words, be honest. Be honest tax collectors. And that's it. Well, as I say, John was not one to mince words. So in today's gospel reading, what we heard was the end of John's ministry. Because John, when he saw the people in authority over them, who were supposed to also be good Jews, good following the law, he saw Herod take his brother's wife and marry her. Now, we heard in the epistle reading a bunch of stuff about sexual immorality. The Bible has a fair bit of to say about sex, about how guys and girls should relate to one another. And it's actually really, really simple. Wait for this very special, very sacred thing until you get married to one person and then stick with that person for the rest of your life. It's real simple. And one of those things that we're not supposed to do is go and steal our brother's wives. Well, that is what Herod had done. And John called him on it. He's like, you're supposed to be a leader. You're doing something that our law explicitly forbids. What kind of king do you think you are? Or tetrarch, like ruler guy, do you think you are? And Herod's like, I think I'm the sort of guy who can lock you up and make you shut up. So he did. He took John and he threw him in prison and he locked him up. And he didn't throw away the key because he kind of liked hearing John. He's like, God, it's kind of weird. I gotta go listen to him some more. but he didn't let him go because he was getting a little dangerous. And so Herod, it was his birthday. And they had birthday parties back then too. So they had the big birthday party for Herod, and everybody was like eating and drinking and feasting and having a good time. And Herod's new wife, who was his brother's wife before, his brother had had a daughter by her, and she was very pretty. And Herodias' daughter was dancing before Herod. And he's like, oh, kind of drunk, and so, oh, wow, she's real pretty, and oh, wow, can she dance? And, you know what, I'm going to promise, you got to give me such a good dance, such great entertainment, I'm going to give you anything you like. Just ask. So Herodias' daughter's like, She goes to her mom. Mom, King just promised me anything I wanted. what should I ask for? And her mom says, ask for John the Baptist's head on a platter. So she did. She went back to Herod and said, okay, in front of everybody, okay, I know what I want. I want John the Baptist's head served to me on a silver platter right here, right now. And Herod's like, oh, that's probably not a good thing. Now what do I do? Because I just promised her whatever she wanted in front of all these guests. And now she's asking for John the Baptist's head on a platter in front of all these guests. And it would really be a bad idea to execute John because he seems to be kind of a holy man. He's kind of weird and he keeps criticizing me. But I don't really want to do this. But there's all my guests and I did promise. And oh no, what am I going to do? Okay, fine. Go execute him. And they actually chopped John the Baptist's head off, put it on a silver platter, and brought it into the banquet. Pretty yucky, if you ask me. And not to mention, really bad, really mean, really cruel. People do this sort of thing. People can be really, really horrible and really, really twisted. So what does this teach us? Well, first of all, if you can help it, don't live under somebody who's going to chop your head off and serve it to somebody else on a silver platter. But we can't always help it, right? We don't actually get to choose where we want. We have these elections where we kind of sort of try and choose our leaders, but we don't always choose good ones. And the Bible does tell us to be obedient to our leaders, even the bad ones. At least as much as we can. You know, if they tell us to do something God doesn't want us to do, then we have to say, sorry. And we have to be, and in this case, like John the Baptist. You know, it's not about stuff. It's not even about my own life. I have to call evil, evil, even if everybody around me is calling it good. I have to tell the truth at all times, no matter what it's going to cost me. Because that's what John did. And Jesus actually said of John that there's nobody greater than him. No one born of woman is greater than John the Baptist. Although he also says, then the least of the kingdom of heaven is going to be greater than John. So we need to be willing to speak the truth at all times. We need to be willing to sacrifice whatever we need to for the sake of the truth. We also need to be not attached to stuff, not attached to anything, not attached even to our own lives. Because it's more important to serve God. It's more important to have God pleased with you, as we heard yesterday, than it is to have man pleased with you. And yeah, it can be tough. You might get picked on. You're probably not, God willing, going to get your head chopped off and served up on a silver platter. But it might still be tough. Even if you are just trying to follow the teachings of John, it might still be tough. You know, you've got two coats hanging in your closet, and you like both of them. What do you do? Choose one. Give the other one to somebody who needs a coat. So nobody ever said, and if anybody ever tells you that following Jesus, doing the right thing, is going to be easy, don't believe them. It's going to be hard. But it's much more important to do that, to do the right thing, in order to prepare ourselves for what is coming. Because what is coming is the kingdom of heaven. What is coming is the time when goodness and righteousness will prevail. That's what will last. And so we need to make sure that we are faithful, like John the Baptist was faithful. That we don't care about anything except pleasing God, like John the Baptist. And that we're willing to speak the truth no matter what it's going to cost us, like John the Baptist, so that we can prepare the way for the coming kingdom of God. And as we do this, God will work through us. We might not have lots and lots of people flocking to us and asking us for advice like John did, but we will be an influence for good on all those around us. And God will work through us and glorify himself, bringing about his kingdom through us to his glory, the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, now and to ages of ages.